Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. As always, we've got Miss Gloria in the house. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Hello. It's a wonderful day today. Thank you so much.
It's a wonderful day today. We're going to be celebrating Earth Day tomorrow. So this is kind of like, instead of Christmas Eve, it's Earth Day Eve. I think that's kind of fun. So have that going on tonight. So,
well, we can stick a biblical metaphor in there as well. Eve, Earth Day.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to throw it in there, you go right ahead, girlfriend. It's all good. So tonight, yeah, like I said, we're going to be celebrating Earth Day, and maybe Mr. Jamie will be popping on too, so that'll be great. We're our regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe, and if anybody's out there live and listening to us, yeah, we are always live on Pacific time at 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and the call-in number, and just in case you're checking us online, is going to be 646-727-3206, and we will have the chat room available. If you want to go ahead and go into the chat room, we'll be keeping an eye on that too, see if there's any questions or comments people would like to say. And if you have any updates on any kind of activities that are going to be going on, even beyond tomorrow, which will be the 22nd of April in 2015, go ahead and let us know. We always are looking for that and having it where we actually have a wonderful thing that if you go to transformation-cafe.com, that's where this show will be available on demand, basically through iTunes. And we thank you for going ahead and subscribing to that. That's a wonderful thing that we really love. And any questions and comments, any kind of ideas, we'd love to hear from you on all that. So so just to give everybody a little bit of history, and Gloria has let me know that she's very familiar with Earth Day, so that's wonderful. Love to hear any kind of back history she have on that. Started back on April 22nd in 1970. So this is a big 45th year anniversary for Earth Day, which I just think is so wonderful. I'll be wonderful actually to go back and look at some of the different climate issues, some of the different kinds of issues with animals and just plants in general and things like that that were basically threatened with extinction, and how we've been able to really do changes. There's definitely different issues now, I'm sure, since we're talking about 45 years ago. But a lot of the different things were actually, I found a wonderful article that was 5 ways of celebrating Earth Day. Gloria, have there been like things in the past that you've been just very aware of that in ways that you've really chosen to go out and do some stuff in just celebrating that day and things that you've really changed in your consciousness of being ways to go out there and be celebrating the Earth? Too silent.
Was that I missed the first
and
part.
And what a question. Are there ways that you...
Are
there ways that you've learned over the years going to different events and things like that through the Earth Day functions that have really changed your awarenesses of things?
Well, I've always been a hippie at heart. And growing up in the Midwest, it really wasn't... every day was Earth Day. I mean, there were farmers, there was bugs and plants, and I grew up in the surrounding areas of the city. So I thought that it was a really nice thing that, people were becoming more aware of it by having the celebrations and, I didn't really recognize it as an official type of an event. I just, initially I would see that they were having different celebrations and just an awareness process. And so one of the things that I was really impressed with was when I moved into San Diego and I happened to see that at Balboa Park every year, they have what they call San Diego Earthworks. And it's
Earthworks.
To celebrate
That's
the
nice.
Earth Day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is their 25th anniversary. They had it this past Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And
what do they have available
when
you do that?
Well, I keep wanting to volunteer, And it looks like a very huge process, but I haven't been able to volunteer on the days that they have it just yet. So maybe next year. And they have a whole bunch of vendors. They have volunteers. It's a very large deal.
That's cool. That's very, very cool. And I can totally relate to the living in the Midwest and being having a hippie mindset, you know, as you're growing up, because I definitely had that. I can remember when 4th of July, we had a parade for the 4th of July, and my two younger sisters went as Uncle Sam and the Statue of Liberty, and I was a protesting hippie. So what does that tell you? Even back then, you know, I was just trying to make a statement of positive change. So
I just like the fact that I could wear clothes that had fringe.
I know, and fringe is back again. So, you know, we've got the fringe thing happening, which is exciting. So that's all good. You can like fringe boots and fringe purses and fringe, you know, all different kinds of stuff. So that's good.
Oh,
so you know, what goes around comes around. You know,
headbands and. Oh,
yeah, everything. That's true.
That's true.
The headbands are back.
Yeah, I know. I've seen
headbands.
Them.
Yeah.
They tie around
the top article.
Part of the head, and they look like Indian beads. I love them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's really going into honoring, you know, the tribal traditions of honoring the earth in some ways, and just going back to those traditions of, because that's, I mean, if you really want to get into the Native American, they definitely, that's a good segue for me. I have a book that I got earlier this year called The Soul Unearthed, and it's celebrating the wildness and personal renewal through nature. And it was created, actually, it's a collection of all different kinds of articles and poems and things like that. It was edited by Cass Adams, and it's got just all different kinds of wonderful things in it. I wanted to read, but just had basically popped out at me that I wanted to go ahead and share with the show, since we're talking about Earth Day. It said, the great sacred spiritual path of the world traversed a varied landscape of culture and tradition, but nearly all have passed through and been strengthened by time alone in the wilderness. So there's that collection of centeredness and just being with yourself. One cool thing is I saw a thing from HeartMath, and we've talked about HeartMath before on the radio show. But if you go to heartmath.org, it's a wonderful organization that for over 10 years has been researching the heart. And one thing that they found is when we're in perfect balance and centered with ourselves, our beat and our rhythm is exactly the same as nature. So it's an innate thing that we know when it comes to levels of being balanced, that we're in sync with ourselves and we're in sync with the nature around us. So it's really, really important that we get out there, take nature walks, allow ourselves to just, you know, go out and just sit in nature, because it really helps us to be balanced. It helps with stress. It's just all kinds of wonderful things. And how wonderful to be able to celebrate the thing that really keeps us in sync with ourselves, because it's just our nature self. I like to talk about when I do my flower wisdom work about how being in a natural rhythm with ourselves, and it really comes from being out into nature, and it's our natural self, it's our nature self. So I just think that's something that just really want to keep encouraging people to be able to go ahead and do that. And you know, one of the things that it talked about was celebrating Earth Day. It's just really coming to a new awareness of different things that you can do to be making a difference. So one of the things was getting engaged with really learning about all the different things that are happening on the planet, and just the different ways that on a very simple, simplistic and subtle level, you can really be making those changes, because it's those small things that we do every day and on a conscious level that can really just change the earth and change our way of thinking about things. I was at a couple little things I wanted to share that happened to me today that I thought were interesting. One was... I have a guy in my one of my business networks, and he's one of those guys that sells all the different advertising things like pins and magnets and all different kinds of things where you could have your business being advertised. And the new thing that they're doing that he brought in was a mouse pad, but it was like a recyclable calendar. It was the same size as like a mouse pad, but it was a calendar, and every month the paper would change. But the paper and even the foundation of it and all of that was recyclable. And you could hang it on the wall instead of using it as a mouse pad because, you know, some people don't need mouse pads anymore. Actually, they're kind of getting to the point where a lot of people don't even really use them anymore. But the fact that it was something that people were kind of kidding where it was more like a coaster as opposed to a mouse pad because it was definitely disposable and it was just kind of a place to be putting your mouse down or whatever, you know. So I thought that was kind of a neat thing. But on the flip side of that, I also had, I'm a florist, so I had somebody call me, and they were going to be doing a memorial service for somebody, and they wanted to do 100 balloons, white balloons that they were going to go ahead of as and have a part of that service where people were going to be writing different things on it, and then at the right time, they were going to let all those balloons go. And I thought that was kind of a sweet and yet kind of disturbing thing because it's thinking about, well, it's wonderful to have all those things being lifted in the air in the honoring of someone, but yeah, think of all the pollution, all the trash that was going to be causing. And if you talk to people that are, you know, with the parks departments and things like that, they talk about all this, you know, the balloons and all the different things that just can be such a problem for animals and even plant life and stuff. And that stuff basically starts to break down and how it really can affect an environment, having all those balloons out there. So I definitely was concerned about that. So I actually, I opted not to help the customer to be able to create that kind of thing. And I think it was just kind of a cautious thing on my part. And I suggested a couple other things that they could do, like, you know, well, we can get a blooming plant and they could plant it for that person, or we could create like little bags of bird seed or flower seeds, and then people could go ahead and take them and then implant those seeds in that person's honor. Instead of having it be a balloon with a message on it, have you heard of the ones they have, Gloria? I think you told me about that at Christmas time. Somebody had sent you a Christmas card that had seeds and stuff in it. It was recyclable paper. Is that true?
Yes. That is?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I remember you telling me that. And it was so pretty, you didn't want to plant it.
Right, you plant it in the dirt, and I just thought, you know, they need to make it so that they can keep the card, but yet, you know, plant the seed so, like, only on one page or don't have anything, you know, I don't know. An insert in the card
right.
That is a recyclable seed or something. But
or have the envelope have the seeds, and then you can keep the card. Yeah, some way you've got that in there, so you're giving back to the earth, but yeah, depending on what you know, how it's, you know, the artwork and stuff like that is. So there's lots of different things about, and just, you know, the reason I brought up the advertising promotional item is, you know, very conscious choices are being made and how people are choosing to still do business, still be able to advertise, still have things out there, but yet have it the ink being environmentally friendly, having the paper being environmentally friendly. And people are really responding to that and just really making a difference with that. So I thought that was really, really cool. But one of the things here, the number one thing, again, is to be engaged and just to be learning about all different kinds of different stuff, you know, how the climate and things are changing. We've talked about that before with the jet stream. And, I mean, the jet stream, I mean, we've had the show on for 4 years now. And, boy, at the beginning we had, the jet stream was changing and we had all the different poles were being having to get realigned with all the different stuff that was happening. We had volcanoes going off, all different kinds of things that are happening. So really looking at that and having it where I really believe, and I think love to hear your perspective on this, Gloria, is just, you know, the earth is alive and she has, you know, a sense of consciousness about her. And she's basically really kind of being out there to remind us of all the things that are sacred. I know with the Native American sweat lodges and stuff that you participate in, that you've definitely got a sense about that. And then, you know, how the world communicates with us. I mean, in the Native American, you know, all the animals and the connections with the earth are very much a languaging and very sacred in the way that they're there to be helping us to have an awareness and a consciousness about that's bigger than ourselves, but yet a part of ourselves at the same time.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because when you look at it from that perspective and you think about what we take the time, you know, they say, you know, stop and smell the flowers, you know, and don't get stressed out, time to really just take a moment and breathe. And yet, it goes beyond that, because if you listen, if you actually spend the time to just stop and you listen for a language that you may not recognize as a language to begin with, and you, when they talk about animals and the earth and insects and flowers, you know, the flora, the fauna, the earth talking, and, you know, everything has a language all its own. It's just a matter of being able to, one, recognize it as a language, and then, two, to really listen and hear what that language is saying. And the nice thing about the language that comes from the earth and the flora and the fauna is that while it's not something that we recognize as a language, as if you were speaking between different languages and countries, it's much easier to understand than a language from another country, because you really don't have to you don't have to learn five different languages. All you have to do is recognize that it's a language and take a moment to connect with that and to hear in your heart. So it only requires developing the skill of being able to go into your heart and to grow your intuition so that you can then say, well, this is what I'm hearing, and you go with that. You know, you can trust your heart. And so it's a little bit of a different way of communicating. There's a nuance to it that it's not a verbal language and it's not set in stone. It's an energetic language, and it's much stronger, and it's a delicate language, and it's much more personal when you finally understand it, because it's communication that only you can hear. And it's really a very sweet language.
Oh, it's very sweet. You know, and this is exactly when I had created the flower journaling that I did last summer. And it's actually classes that I teach now are really people helping people just to take one flower, connecting with that. And like you're saying, it's this different language, dropping into the heart and really listening to just something that's just, you know, you can hear it on a very soft and very almost whispered way, but so true.
What's really funny is that when you bring up the flower, I went to a class that a friend of mine, Reverend Jean Holmes, was teaching, and it was about the language of flowers, and hers was a little different than yours, and I went with the flow of the class, and everyone went out, and we found a flower, and we asked it if we could pick it and got permission, and then we brought it in inside a paper towel so that no one knew whose flower it was, and we all our flowers on the counter, and then we sat down and each of us took a turn and went up and picked a flower that was not ours, and it was the most incredible experience. I picked up a morning glory, one of the little pink ones, you know, that kind of look like a right side up bell, so it's like a pink and white almost, and I sat down and I looked at it and I went to connect and to tune in to the energy of this flower, and my third eye kicked in, and I literally saw this flower with the either side, you know, of the pink and the white, the circle. I saw the petals or the leaves. It's not a leaf, but the flower part. I saw the top of it coming together, like it was moving like a mouth and talking at me for this split instant. And I saw this flower, and I was almost hearing wah, 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 but I didn't hear it. I saw pictures in addition, but it was just the most amazing experience. I have never before tuned into a flower to that level to actually see it moving at me, to talk to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like, and I always love to teach it, where it's kind of like going to the tiki room at Disneyland, you know. You see the orchids are singing, and they're talking, and all that good stuff. So when, you know, we can allow ourselves, whether we want to call it imagination or intuition or just our sensing of something and trusting something that's beyond something that, you know, we might consider like, oh, well, no, that's not really what I'm seeing. And really allowing yourself to be able to just to be open to a level of communication, how things can change, your perspective can change. And it's not necessarily going crazy. It's a matter of you're opening yourself up to something that can, that's, you know, it's willing to hear me so I can communicate with it. I no longer have to be mute. I can allow myself to get expressed. You know, when a flower recognizes that it's being honored and that you're really wanting to hear the message, you know, it can be turned into a chatterbox.
Very much so.
Yeah, and very much so, you know.
The thing that I found interesting is that, you know, when we picked up these flowers, we only had them for maybe no more than 5 minutes, you know, walking distance from where we found them back to the classroom. And the most amazing thing to me is that not only did that happen and I could tune in, but that flower told me so many things about the person who picked it. Just in an instant. So you know, when you think about the ability of the plant, not let alone the animals and, you know, the earth as a whole, but the plant knew about the person that picked the flower. There was an osmosis process where that flower intuitively already knew different personality traits that it conveyed to me about the person that picked it in such a short period of time. It hadn't known it. I mean, it's not like the flower grew up living in this person's house. I mean, it was just the moment of picking it up and taking it to the room. So minutes. And so for this flower, each of these flowers, to know about the person that picked them, it's amazing to me. It's truly a wonder because, you know, you think about the intelligence and you think about the telemetry that goes on between animals and plants. They've got to be so deep. And the sensitivity level and the amount of information that plants, animals, and the earth get from us as human beings, and we don't even, you know, most people don't even know. We tune in and we listen to them, but what about the reverse?
Yeah, you think about Native Americans, how they, you know, forever have always talked about, you know, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my friend. You know, when it comes to levels of relationship, there's always that love and that understanding that this is my friend and I honor them, instead of having it be, oh, this is just my food or that's just an animal and things like that. I remember remembering a story that I had heard about that was John Muir. He had written a story, and John Muir, for people who don't know, he was back in the early 1900s, and he was well known for his love for the world and for the earth, and he did a lot to help people recognize that we needed to be saving so much of our wilderness in the United States. And when Teddy Roosevelt was wanting to go ahead and create the Parks Department, I know in Yosemite there was a talk about putting in a dam. And John Muir was very much against that, and really he did everything he could to go ahead and stop the dam when it came to Yosemite and stuff like that. So the photographs and everything else. Also, he had a point in his life where he had become ill, and he pretty much, you know, he had lived out in the wilderness. He you know, he definitely owned, you know, when I read that poem about, you know, that your nature self really comes from just allowing yourself to be, you know, strengthened by the time alone in the wilderness. He definitely had been. And he got married, and when he created a farm with his wife, and when he became ill, his wife said, you need to go live out in the wilderness. It's the only thing that's going to save you. He actually went ether within himself that he needed to just cool off the body to the point where he could kill off any his basic provisions with his dog. His dog that
your
he had writing a children's book about it.
Your phone connection is fading in and out.
Oh, is it? Okay. But he wound up having a connection with his dog, and he wrote a, once he recovered, you know, he fully recovered from his illness, he wrote a story about the dog, and he made it into a children's book. And because of that book, it wound up having everybody really looking at animals in a different way. They were no longer just farm animals that helped around the farm to, you know, to keep it thriving and just be of service. They wound up having deep relationships with these animals and accepting that that was part of their connection too. So it was bringing people back into the friendships that they could have with other than, you know, human experiences, which I just thought was, it was amazing, but yet it made so much sense when I heard it, and also made me feel kind of sad that we're talking the early 1900s. There was already those shifts in understanding where people were walking away from all those connections that, you know, we have on just a really basic level. Like I said, that's the reason why I brought up the heart math, because, you know, when you said that the flowers knew these people within 5 minutes, there's an entrainment that happens when it comes from the heart and having that connection. So us, you know, flowers know us on a soul level. I think the earth knows us on a soul level, and how profound it is for us to slow ourselves down to reconnect with what is our beloved, what we know deeper than anything we can know ourselves, because it's our soul. We're really connecting on a soul level with the planet. So how appropriate it is for us to be able to celebrate that connection that, well, whatever reason, it's just through all the different things we've had, through what we want to label being, you know, getting more civilized and being growth and change and all that, on a level of being able to supposedly be that much more successful in the world. But, you know, you look at technology and all the other things that have been causing the earth to be basically fragmented and torn apart for, you know, people to be able to use the resources. It really can really quicken us to our knees when we think about, you know, what are we going to be losing here if we really don't listen to what we need to be doing on just a very simple, basic level, and keeping more life simple and less waste and more conscious about taking care of the things that take care of us.
Well said.
Thank you. That was coming from my heart on that one. So some of the basic things that the article was talking about was just planting a tree. You know, it's important to be making sure that we're contributing back to the planet. So many trees are taken out for landscaping and just all the different crazy things that we need. And, you know, a tree is just so much of an extension of ourselves, being able to gift that back to the planet. And just like, you know, instead of balloons, you know, plant a flower or plant a tree in someone's honor and remembering them, and have it be this thing that can be living and thriving and just being a magnificent expression of life. I think that's really cool. One that was unusual that I thought was making a meal of local grown vegetables in a garden, really honoring your own creativity or that of people locally, the local organic farmers and stuff that are out there, and making it something that can be really significant. And, you know, the picking up the trash, like you're saying with this earthworks, you know, all the different things that you can do on just a simple level where you can just be out in the community and helping people to be either educated or helping to clean up and just make those simple things of change that really do make a difference in the long run. And we've done a show previously about bees, and I'm definitely an advocate of having people know on just a simple level they can, you know, in planting flowers, you're healing and saving the earth, because we're feeding the bees, we're feeding the earth, and having it, you know, being able to be able to pollinate itself and have it being thriving out there. You know, the birds and the bees, we got the sex thing going on here. We got to be, you know, making sure that everything on a very basic level is being nurtured and protected and celebrated with the flowers that can really make a change in that, and helping things to be entrained on a very heart level. So anything you'd like to add to that, Gloria, as we get done with the show? We got about 50 seconds.
No, that was beautiful.
Okay, thank you. So we just really want to encourage everybody to be checking out all the different, there's all kinds of, like, there are over 190 countries out there that have different global events that they do on a regular basis for Earth Day nowadays. So we really want to encourage people to just kind of go out there and have some fun and celebrate and find ways that they, on just like I said, on very simple levels, they can be celebrating this beautiful world that we call home. And making sure that generations to come will be able to celebrate its beauty and just everything that it gives to us. So with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us here at the cafe. And as always, thank you, Miss Gloria. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.